things happened unto them for unshamefulness, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. CD 378.2, 1873, 3T171, 172, 646. The church in general at Battle Creek had not sustained the institute by their example. They had not honored the light of health reform by carrying it out in their 379 families. The sickness that has visited many families in Battle Creek need not have been, if they had followed the light God has given them. Like ancient Israel, they had disregarded the light, and could see no more necessity of restricting their appetite than did ancient Israel. The children of Israel would have flesh meats, and said, as many now say, we shall die without meat. God gave rebellious Israel flesh, but his curse was with it. Thousands of them died while the meat they desired was between their teeth. We have the example of ancient Israel, and the warning for us not to do as they did. Their history of unbelief and rebellion is left on record as a special warning that we should not follow their example of murmuring at God's requirements. How can we pass on so indifferently, choosing our own course, following the sight of our own eyes, and departing farther and farther from God, as did the Hebrews? God cannot do great things for his people because of their hardness of heart and sinful unbelief. CD 378.3. God is no respecter of persons, but in every generation they that fear the Lord and work righteousness are accepted of him, while those who are murmuring, unbelieving, and rebellious, will not have his favor or the blessings promised to those who love the truth and walk in it. Those who have the light and do not follow it, but disregard the requirements of God, will find that their blessings will be changed into curses, and their mercies into judgments. God would have us learn humility and obedience as we read the history of ancient Israel, who were his chosen and peculiar people, but who brought their own destruction by following their own ways. CD 379.1, 1900, 6372, 647. Our habits of eating and drinking show whether we are of the world or among the number whom the Lord by his mighty cleaver of truth has separated from the world. These are his peculiar people, zealous of good works. God has spoken in his word. In the case of Daniel and his three companions, there are sermons upon health reform. God has spoken in the history of the children of Israel, from whom for their good he sought to withhold a flesh diet. He fed 380 of them with bread from heaven, man did eat angels' food. But they encouraged their earthly appetite, and the more they centered their thoughts upon the flesh pots of Egypt, the more they hated the food which God gave them to keep them in health physically, mentally, and morally. They longed for the flesh pots, and in this they did just as many in our own time had done. Further statements regarding the use of flesh meat by the Antediluvians and the Israelites, negative 231, 233, CD 379.2, back to the original diet, CTBH 119, 1890, CH 450, 648. Again and again I have been shown that God is trying to lead us back, step by step, to his original design, that man should subsist upon the natural products of the earth. CD 380.1, MS 115, 1903, 649. Vegetables, fruits, and grains should compose our diet. Not an ounce of flesh meat should enter our stomachs. The eating of flesh is unnatural. We are to return to God's original purpose in the creation of man. CD 380.2, 1905, MH 317, 650. Is it not time that all should aim to dispense with flesh foods? How can those who are seeking to become pure, refined, and holy, that they may have the companionship of heavenly angels, continue to use as food anything that has so harmful an effect on soul and body? How can they take the life of God's creatures that they may consume the flesh as a luxury? Let them, rather, return to the wholesome and delicious food given to man in the beginning, and themselves practice, and teach their children to practice, mercy toward the dumb creatures that God has made and has placed under our dominion. CD 380.3, Preparing for Translation, 1890, CTBH 119, 651. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Flesh will 381 cease to form a part of their diet. We should ever keep this end in view, and endeavor to work steadily toward it. I cannot think that in the practice of flesh-eating we are in harmony with the light which God has been pleased to give us. All who are connected with our health institutions especially should be educating themselves to subsist on fruits, grains, and vegetables. If we move from principle in these things, if we as Christian reformers educate our own taste, and bring our diet to God's plan, then we may exert an influence upon others in this matter, which will be pleasing to God. CD 380.4, CTBH 48, 1890, CH 116-652. It is not the chief end of man to gratify his appetite. There are physical wants to be supplied, but because of this is it necessary that man shall be controlled by appetite? Will the people who are seeking to become holy, pure, refined, that they may be introduced into the society of heavenly angels, continue to take the life of God's creatures, and enjoy their flesh as a luxury? From what the Lord has shown me, this order of things will be changed, and God's peculiar people will exercise temperance in all things. CD 381.1, 1909, 90, 153, 154, 653. Those who had received instruction regarding the evils of the use of flesh foods, tea, and coffee, and rich and unhealthful food preparations, and who are determined to make a covenant with God by sacrifice, will not continue to indulge their appetite for food that they know to be unhealthful. God demands that the appetite be cleansed, and that self-denial be practiced in regard to those things which are not good. This is a work that will have to be done before His people can stand before Him a perfected people. CD 381.2, MS 71, 1908 654. It is for their own good that the Lord counsels the remnant church to discard the use of flesh meats, tea, and coffee, and other harmful foods. There are plenty of other things on which we can subsist that are wholesome and good. 382, CD 381.3, Perfecting Holiness, R&H, May 27, 1902, CH 575, 576, 655. Greater reforms should be seen among the people who claim to be looking for the soon appearing of Christ. Health reform is to do among our people a work which it has not yet done. There are those who ought to be awake to the danger of meat-eating, who are still eating the flesh of animals, thus endangering the physical, mental, and spiritual health. Many who are now only half converted on the question of meat-eating will go from God's people to walk no more with them. CD 382.1 In all our work we must obey the laws which God has given, that the physical and spiritual energies may work in harmony. Men may have a form of godliness, they may even preach the gospel, and yet be unpurified and unsanctified. Ministers should be strictly temperate in their eating and drinking, lest they make crooked paths for their feet, turning the lame-those weak in the faith-out of the way. If, while proclaiming the most solemn and important message God has ever given, men war against the truth by indulging wrong habits of eating and drinking, they take all the force from the message they bear. CD 382.2 Those who indulge in meat-eating, tea-drinking, and gluttony are sowing seeds for a harvest of pain and death. The unhealthful food placed in the stomach strengthens the appetites that war against the soul, developing the lower propensities. A diet of flesh meat tends to develop animalism. A development of animalism lessens spirituality, rendering the mind incapable of understanding truth. CD 382.3 The Word of God plainly warns us that unless we abstain from fleshly lusts, the physical nature will be brought into conflict with the spiritual nature. Lustful eating wars against health and peace. Thus warfare is instituted between the higher and the lower attributes of the man. The lower propensities, strong and active, oppress the soul. The highest interests of the being are imperiled by the indulgence of appetites and sanctified on by heaven. 383, CD 382.4, Letter 48, 1902-656. Those who claim to believe the truth are to guard carefully the powers of body and mind, so that God and His cause will not be in any way dishonored by their words or actions. The habits and practices are to be brought into subjection to the will of God. We had to give careful attention to our diet. It has been clearly presented to me that God's people are to take a firm stand against meat eating. Would God for 30 years give his people the message that if they desire to have pure blood and clear minds, they must give up the use of flesh meat, if he did not want them to heed this message? By the use of flesh meats, the animal nature is strengthened and the spiritual nature weakened. CD 383.1, 1905, MH 315657. The moral evils of a flesh diet are not less marked than are the physical ills. Flesh food is injurious to health, and whatever affects the body has a corresponding effect on the mind and the soul. Think of the cruelty to animals that meat eating involves, and its effect on those who inflict and those who behold it. How it destroys the tenderness with which we should regard these creatures of God. CD 383.2, MS 22, 1887-658. The common use of the flesh of dead animals has had a deteriorating influence upon the morals, as well as the physical institution. Ill health in a variety of forms, if effect could be traced to the cause, would reveal the sure result of flesh eating. CD 383.3, Pacific Union Recorder, October 9, 1902-659. Those who use flesh meat disregard all the warnings that God has given concerning this question. They have no evidence that they are walking in safe paths. They have not the slightest excuse for eating the flesh of dead animals. God's curse is resting upon the animal creation. Many times when meat is eaten, it decays in the stomach, and creates disease. Cancers, tumors, and pulmonary diseases are largely caused by meat eating. 384, CD 383.4, MS 3, 1897-660. Oh, if everyone could discern these matters as they have been presented to me, those who are now so careless, so indifferent in regard to their character building, those who plead for indulgence in a flesh meat diet, would never open their lips in justification of an appetite for the flesh of dead animals. Such a diet contaminates the blood in their veins, and stimulates the lower animal passions. It enfeebles keen perception and vigor of thought to the understanding of God and the truth, and knowledge of themselves. CD 384.1, Meat Eating Especially Dangerous Now, 1905, MH 313661. Flesh was never the best food, but its use is now doubly objectionable, since disease in animals is so rapidly increasing. CD 384.2, 1902, 71-4, 662. Animals are becoming more and more diseased, and it will not be long until animal food will be discarded by many besides Seventh-day Adventists. Foods that are healthful and life-sustaining are to be prepared, so that men and women will not need to eat meat. CD 384.3, MS 133, 1902-663. When will those who know the truth take their stand on the side of right principles for time and for eternity? When will they be true to the principles of health reform? When will they learn that it is dangerous to use flesh meat? I am instructed to say that if ever meat eating were safe, it is not safe now. CD 384.4, Union Conference Record, Australasian, July 28, 1899, 644. The light given me is that it will not be very long before we shall have to give up using any animal food. Even milk will have to be discarded. Disease is accumulating rapidly. The curse of God is upon the earth, because man has cursed it. The habits and practices of men have brought the earth into such a condition that some other food than animal 385 food must be substituted for the human family. We do not need flesh food at all. God can give us something else. CD 384.5, 1870-T 404, 405, 665. Could you know just the nature of the meat you eat? Could you see the animals when living from which the flesh is taken when dead? You would turn with loathing from your flesh meats. The very animals whose flesh you eat are frequently so diseased that, if left alone, they would die of themselves, but while the breath of life is in them, they are killed and brought to market. You take directly into your system humors and poison of the worst kind, and yet you realize it not. CD 385.1, Animal Suffering and Its Effects, 1905, MH314-666. Often animals are taken to market and sold for food, when they are so diseased that their owners fear to keep them longer, and some of the processes of fattening them for a market produce disease, shut away from the light and pure air, breathing the atmosphere of filthy stables, perhaps fattening on decaying food, the entire body soon becomes contaminated with foul matter. CD 385.2, animals are often transported long distances and subjected to great suffering in reaching a market, taken